Good morning, it's Wednesday, August 19th. On the Daily Maelstrom Briefing, the 30-year Treasury yield touches a 19-year high above 5.33% as the July deficit lands at $432 billion. And Brent crude holds above $91 as Hormuz transits collapse to a fraction of normal. Plus, gold rebounds, dollar steadies, Bitcoin coils. Fed minutes are due today. The 30-year Treasury yield hit a 19-year high above 5.33% before easing, while the July U.S. deficit landed at $432 billion and the year-to-date gap reached $1.8 trillion. The 10-year trades near 4.69% and the 2-year near 4.15%. Danny Hewson is head of financial analysis at AJ Bell. She says, investors are watching the unfolding situation in the Middle East and factoring in the potential of an inflation spike that runs hotter and lasts longer than had previously been hoped. The sell-off is global. Japan's 10-year yield hit a three-decade high. German 30-year bond yields reached their highest since 2011, and France's 30-year bond reached its highest since 2008. The long end is doing the repricing. The fiscal math is the transmission channel. Debt service costs are $1.2 trillion this year. Economists at Charles Schwab say Washington keeps rolling debt at market prices, so the effective rate on the entire debt stock slowly climbs. Auction demand is strained. This week's U.S. sales cleared at yields that were the highest since 2007 and 2001, and Wall Street sees no near-term reversal in the supply calendar. That is bearish for long-duration treasuries, utilities, and housing. It tightens financial conditions through hawkish Fed repricing, and it pressures risk assets from credit to tech as the discount rate rises. This is the global fiscal risk premium being repriced across sovereign curves. The next catalyst is today's Federal Reserve minutes. If policymakers signal that oil-driven inflation risks and the fiscal deficit limit rate cuts, the 30-year could retest 5.33 and then push toward 5.5. So the number to remember is 5.33%. That is the 30-year Treasury's 19-year high. It has since eased to around 5.27, but the fiscal supply issue is not reversing, and the risk is that 5.33 becomes a floor. Turning to the Strait of Hormuz, Iran has intensified attacks on vessels, killing one crew member, and daily transits have collapsed to between 3 and 6 ships from roughly 110. That is about a 95% drop in traffic through the world's most important oil choke point. Weekly transits fell 19.5% to 95, and one crew member is dead. Brent crude is above $91, and U.S. crude sits near 85.70. An Iranian military spokesperson, via Fox News, says, find several beautiful holes in their hulls. The UAE has paused all trade and financial transactions with Iran. The EU has imposed an indefinite embargo, and the 60-day ceasefire expired on August 17th with no deal. That is the transmission into markets. A prolonged Hormuz closure pushes insurance costs higher, lifts tanker rates and crude prices, and is bearish for global equities and airline margins. War risk cover is being repriced. The disruption has also removed about 20% of global LNG supply. That feeds directly into European gas and power prices. Tehran is also threatening U.S. bases in Bulgaria and Cyprus. If those threats broaden, the conflict moves from energy shock to direct NATO contingency. The trade is long energy, long tanker rates, long European defense, and short global equities on the tail risk of a NATO-Iran confrontation. Shipping owners are rerouting around the Cape of Good Hope, adding days and freight cost. To repeat, Brent is above $91 because the world's most important oil choke point is effectively closed. Daily transits are down from about 110 to a handful, and a handful is not enough. Let's get to the markets. Brent crude is above $91 and U.S. crude is around $85.70. The 30-year Treasury yield is around 5.27%, off a 19-year high above 5.33. The 10-year is near 4.69 and the 2-year near 4.15. Japan's 10-year yield hit a 3-decade high. German 30-year bunds reached their highest since 2011 and French 30-years since 2008. Global long-end rates remain the center of pressure. The dollar index is around 99.4. Spot gold has rebounded above 43.50 after a near 2% slide Tuesday. Bitcoin is steady near $64,000. Markets are waiting on the Fed minutes, and the next price move likely comes from there. The dollar is under pressure from fiscal risk, not growth. Strategists at Saxo, Societe Generale, and Deutsche Bank say softer U.S. data and Fed ambiguity are eroding support. Saxo's Charu Chanana says a higher yield generated by a larger risk premium is not the same as one generated by strong fundamentals. Long dollar positions are being cut. In the UK, inflation hit a four-month high of 2.9% in July as energy bills surged. The Bank of England held rates at 3.75% on a 6-3 vote, with three members favoring hikes. Simon French of Panmure Liberum says policy is effectively rationing supply in land, energy, and capital. Meta's trial opened in Oakland, with 29 states seeking roughly $200 billion over child addiction to Instagram and Facebook. California's deputy attorney general said profits won when they conflicted with safety. The states want to end infinite scroll and like counts. Meta argues social media addiction does not exist. Germany's gas storage is just 49.9% full 6 weeks before heating season. Wholesale prices have doubled since February to €63 per megawatt hour. Reaching the November fill target would require 142 LNG cargoes a month, but recent imports average 105. Hong Kong Exchanges and Clearing posted a record quarterly net profit of 5.38 billion Hong Kong dollars. First half profit rose 24% to a record 10.57 billion. State Grid's dim sum bond issue was oversubscribed 13 times, and yuan usage through Hong Kong hit a six-month high. A World Weather Attribution study finds human-caused climate change is the main driver of record European sea heat waves, adding about 2 degrees Celsius to the Mediterranean. The average Mediterranean temperature in July was 27 degrees Celsius, the highest on record. Marine heat waves covered 90% of the Bay of Biscay. OpenAI is pausing work on its Astra model over potentially critical cybersecurity risks. CEO Sam Altman says they would take action if capabilities outstripped safety. Rival Anthropic says its safeguards prevent misaligned behavior, citing a 186-page safety report. Both labs are preparing for expected IPOs. A startup called Gnome is using AI to reduce a rare disease diagnostic search from months to about 10 minutes. It analyzes genetic results and identifies potential treatments. Gnome has reviewed roughly 5,000 cases and found a viable treatment fit for 25%. It produces 80 to 100 reports a month. Each report runs 53 pages and lays out next steps. The platform currently oversees a little more than 10 genetic medicine programs. Jacqueline Lee of the DAND Alliance says, "We were handed this diagnosis and little else. There was no roadmap, barely any research, no community that I was aware of at the time." Founder Stevie Ringel says they act with patient-level urgency, and a PhD is still in the loop before anything goes back to a patient. About 25% of the work is automated now, and Gnome expects to automate 60 to 80% within 2 years. The dry observation: for families handed a diagnosis and little else, 10 minutes may be the first roadmap they have had. The Daily Maelstrom Briefing, Wednesday, August 19th. Tomorrow hinges on whether Fed minutes or Hormuz headlines push the 30-year yield above 5.5%. That's the brief.